Welcome to the Art Talk podcast, where I discuss the stories that help us accomplish to be better artists as well as better art entrepreneurs. I am Karin Merks, your host, and I'm artist, art entrepreneur, and art coach or teacher. This is episode 58 of Art Talk, and my guest today is artist Claire Neil. Claire Neil is a Brighton-based artist working across various disciplines, including sculpture, textiles, and digital collage. Central themes in her work explore the uplifting power of movement and color and how it can influence our mood and emotions. Claire's style is characterized by intriguing color combinations, geometric forms, and a joyful, refined aesthetic. The beginnings and ends of shadow lie between the light and darkness, and may be infinitely diminished and infinitely increased. Leonardo da Vinci. Welcome, Claire. I'm really happy to have you as my guest. So
I'm
this
really
quote.
Happy to be here.
Can you relate to this?
Yeah, give me the quote again. I need to take it in.
The beginnings and ends of shadow lie between the light and darkness and may be infinitely diminished and infinitely increased.
Oh, yeah, that's a good one, isn't it? Yes. Light and shadows are fascinating. Yes, and I use those a lot in my work because it adds such an amazing different kind of dimension to what you're looking at. Yeah, very exciting. I've recently been reading about the science of colour and the science of light and how we receive light and colour. It's just, yeah, so exciting.
I know. I'm currently working on an online course for colour theory and how we perceive colour, especially when you paint and skin colour, because also skin colour depends on light.
For sure.
Light you put on it. And so it's a very interesting point. And there's also, and you probably know that from color, at one point, blue didn't exist as a dye or as a pigment.
Yeah.
Because it's not natural in nature, right? Because all colors we see come from nature.
Yeah.
And it were the Egyptians who were the first.
They managed to work it out, and here we are.
Still in Africa, there is a tribe that doesn't see blue, but they have multiple words for green and all its subtle shades and hues, things that we don't see, but they see it. Very interesting.
Yeah, it is interesting. Yes, and the fact that colour doesn't exist without us seeing it. It's like...
That's another thing, yeah. Yeah.
Colour does not exist without us seeing it, and that is amazing to me. Like,
yeah, you can't see it, you can't smell it, right? You can't taste it. You can't hear it. Well, that's not true. I can see colours also in my mind by hearing certain notes, tones. Synergy.
Oh, really? Yeah. Oh, that's exciting. And do you explore that in your work? Or does that influence your work?
Yes, because I'm currently working on a series of musicians and I want to capture that exact moment where all my senses tell me that they're one with the music, to express oneness. And it's for some music I use specific colors that come to me when I paint them, because I hear that. So I have next to me, I have Ella, and that has specific colors because she sings Summertime.
Isn't it? Well, so Isaac Newton, who worked out that the color spectrum in light, the reason that we have seven colors is because he was matching those to seven octaves, or there was some connection.
There is a connection. Yeah.
Yes, that's interesting.
Very. Yeah. So you have a BA in multimedia textile design, and then you took a detour.
Yeah,
to finally come back to what you love most. And what was the reason you took the detour?
I think I finished university and I'd had such a lovely time. And the course that I took was multimedia textiles, but it kind of edged into it could go in any way you liked. It was quite experimental. You could take it anywhere you like. And I kind of finished that having kind of done lots of exploring and had a great time. And then I was kind of out in the world and it was like, oh God, what do I do for this now? And I didn't really I just didn't have that step into where do I take all of this juicy stuff that I've just been working on and how do I apply it in a real world scenario? So like you do, I moved to London and I was like, what's the next thing that's closest to textiles? It's fashion. So I will go and I did loads of internships and worked in fashion PR and marketing and all sorts of different stuff, having a great time. And I had a lovely time doing that. And then eventually, via a bit of a wiggly path, I came back to this idea of creating. I had been creating within what I was doing, kind of creating experiences and creating lots of different things, but actually coming back to picking stuff up with my hands and making something. I was like, oh yeah, this is where I need to be back here.
Yeah, you need to be back in your soul, right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, and I hadn't realized that was missing really until until I started doing it again, and I was like,
yeah.
Yeah,
yeah, it happens, I know.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you create, and we talked about it just before we started this, but you create beautiful mobiles, and with your work you hope to create connections.
Yeah.
How do you think that mobiles can create connections? And I mean, you probably mean connections between people, right?
Yeah, I guess I mean... Yeah, lots of different connections. I mean, I think probably we all create art to try and connect in some sort of way, don't we? To connect with the world and other people. But I, over the time of making mobiles, because the process involves a lot of sitting and watching, so I'll kind of make something and I'll sit and I'll watch how it moves and what's happening once it's kind of, you know, you... in a three-dimensional space rather than kind of just flat pieces. Anyway, so in this process, I had a lot more time than I normally would to just sit because I'm not a very good sitter. I don't often do nothing. Or I haven't. I was always really rubbish at that. And then I realised that this time kind of just sitting was actually connecting me back to the moment, like what is happening right here, right now, in this moment, what's happening with me, what's happening in my immediate surroundings, rather than what's happening in my brain over here and this thing that has to be, you know, done by Thursday and what are the kids doing and all this kind of stuff. And I found that through that process, I began to have a better connection with myself just through that time to sit and reflect and really be in the moment. And then once I started inviting other people into my studio or into, you know, events that I was doing or to come and see my work, I found, you know, they were noticing this as well. They were noticing the opportunity just to be invited to sit, basically, and go, okay, where am I now? What's going on with me? So I think, that's what I hope I can create, what I'm interested in creating anyway.
Yeah. I find that so interesting because, you know, you can meditate and not everyone can meditate because their brains run away with them.
Yeah.
You can call that the monkey brain. And everyone has it, even the monks who sit there for hours and notice. But using art to get back in the now.
Mm.
And I can so see this. You just hang back and you just... look at it, and it connects you so with yourself. Beautiful. Yeah.
It's been a lovely discovery. It really, really lovely. And in the process of me kind of working out why does this happen, why do I feel like this, I started to make connections between, you know, when you go to the beach or you're in nature and you're just, or you're sitting by a fire, it's exactly the same feeling, isn't it? It's like just this lovely kind of like there's emotion to it. And it's just really, really soothing. And so I started, I was like, okay, this is a kind of similar thing. And I did a bit more reading. That is a principle used in biophilic design, which I didn't mm-hmm. know about previously, but now do. It kind of gives your eye a chance to rest.
Yeah.
And, you know, your brain processes this kind of motion that's kind of moving gently, but not a rhythmic motion. So not like a kind of, oh, it's happening, like, you know. Your brain has and your eyes have a lovely rest in that. So, yeah.
That's very fascinating. Yeah, because mm-hmm. the rest, if we look at city life, when I walk on the street here, I can be in myself. Most of the time I listen to books that bring me in the now. But you see everything. Yeah. People walking like this. Bang. Yeah. Nobody is in the now. They're all somewhere else. And it really is what you say, what you have with the sea. And it is known that when you are at the sea, it takes 60 seconds to de-stress or 60%. Mm. And also in being in nature, hugging a tree, it's the same.
Yeah.
It's amazing that art can do that too. I know that art has that power, and I know also that people love to look at art. Also pure paintings, like real paintings, and that's why people flock to the museum still.
Yeah, I love, especially, I mean, when you look at a painting and you actually look at the brush marks, I love the fact that there's movement in that as well, that mm-hmm. you can see where, you know, that somebody's actually physically moved paint on the canvas. And it's super exciting.
And also the light plays with it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Lots of light play. Yeah.
So you were influenced by César Manrique.
Yes.
Does the work by Alexander Kohler has any influence on your mobiles?
Well, I think if you're going to make mobiles, I mean, you've got to have had a glance at Alexander Kohler's work. And I think that for sure, I mean, definitely, he was the kind of like the start of the whole idea of kind of making mobile art, or art that kind of was suspended.
Mm-hmm.
Some of the pieces that I make do follow his. He has a very particular style. I mean, you know, the way that he makes the frames for his mobile and that lovely flowing shape. And that is a particular way of making something move and balance. And I do occasionally use that in my work. But I think also I have also tried to kind of like move away from that a little bit and try and find my own way of kind of putting something together. So, for sure, I love the fact that he did so much. You know, he was playing with all sorts of things. What an amazing creative brain. And the interesting thing about his work is his play with scale, which is something I'm also interested in. You know, he made, you know, mobiles that were this big to, gorgeous, gigantic, great big things. So for sure. Yeah, definitely. Yes. I'd definitely like to see more of his work in the flesh. Really have a look, you know, like, oh, okay, how's he made this? What's going on?
I can imagine that. Yeah. and I love, by the way, how you write that a mobile can never be viewed in the same way twice.
Yeah.
And it's something that, reflecting back to what you just said and we talked about, does this in any way spark your imagination for a new piece? So you sit there, you're in the now, you have connected with yourself, and you just start looking at what happens. with the movement. Is that a reason, again, for, wait a minute.
Yeah, so often that happens. And I'll, you know, put something together